Hello and welcome to episode 3 and Not Another Teacher podcast with me, Martin Malone.
And me, Poppy Gibson.
We're here to help you protect your mental and physical health so that you can thrive both in and out of the class. Not bad. 3 episodes in now.
3 out of 3.
Yeah, it's
loving it. I'm excited to be back, like, especially because, Martin, this week is all about you.
Yeah, we did you last week, so we're going to do me this week.
Let's do it. I've got some really juicy questions.
Go for it.
No, I'm joking. But good questions. Yeah. Right, let's jump in then. And I know, thank you also everyone who's back again for the third time. I had some really lovely feedback, Martin. I don't know about you. Some really nice.
Oh, it's been class. Like all the support, the feedback, the people listening.
So nice. I love it. I love good people. I love nice people. And I know that one of the questions that a lot of people ask me is like, you know, oh, who is your co-host, Martin? Like, what does he do? So I guess by the end of this episode, all our listeners will know the Martin story. Okay, so let's go. So the first question, right, let me just get on my notepad, flip to the page titled Martin's questions. Okay, I just put on my spectacles, Martin, so I can read them. Right, question one. I guess we want to go back to like the origin story, Martin's origin story. So how did you get into teaching and what did you teach?
Yeah, so I taught primary and how I got into it, I think like a lot of people probably can relate to it. Like, I don't know whether you can, just kind of, that's kind of what I wanted to do when I left school. I was thinking about jobs and like what I wanted to do. I thought, you know what? I quite like the idea of teaching and especially teaching primary because you get to a little bit of everything. Like you get a bit more, you've got the same class, you're in the same place. And to me, I thought, do you know what? That sounds like something I want to do. Now, I didn't dive straight into doing just a primary school teaching degree, but I did a year first just as a TA in a school, just to see whether I liked it. And I always think that's a good idea for like anyone who's listening who might be thinking about being a teacher.
Yeah,
like, as a TA, see whether you like the school environment. And don't get me wrong, I think TAs do a hell of a lot of work and they don't get paid all for the work they do. But I think if you're just looking at like testing whether you like being in a school, it's a good way to be in the environment without the pressure of the classroom because there's pressure being a TA, but I don't think it's on that level of like where the book stops with the class teacher and the planning and the mark and the paperwork. So it's a good place to see whether you like the environment. But I did that. And then I did a 4-year primary school teaching degree with maths on the side at Hope. And it was we were the first year of 4 year and we were the last year of 4 year as well. I don't know why we have to be 4 year.
Martin, I've got to say, I've not heard many people say they did a 4-year degree. Tell us more about that.
I don't know what it was. They experimented with it. I think they were like, okay, well, we want to do a 4-year degree. I think it was something to do with the idea of basically people were doing a 3-year degree and then doing a PGCE. So I think they were thinking by the time you come out that extra year and make you a bit more mature. But I personally felt like they made a degree, a 3-year degree into a 4-year degree without thinking about what extra they had to put in. And I think that was a big problem for like a lot of our year. Like we got into the 4th year and we're like, we're done with this. Like we are ready. And it's not like that we were perfect teachers ready to go, but we were at the point where like we were just doing the essays over again. We were just doing the placements again.
Wow. A bit of filler. But
I think your thumb's on the mic.
Yeah, having 4 years, was that beneficial?
I think it was and it wasn't. I think there was definitely beneficial sides to it. But I'd say overall, like, they were outweighed by the fact that I think everything we did in the 4th year, like, you would have picked up pretty quick just having your own class. And I think that was the big thing which a lot of us struggled with. It was that idea that, like, you didn't need that extra year and we were ready to go. That to me was probably a big thing. Like, I think I would say that someone on a PGCE, like, fair play to them, because the amount they have to cram into 1 year is madness.
It's crazy.
It is madness. And I think fair play, like, if you've gone down that route, it's probably extremely stressful, and you probably come out the other side and you've not even, like, been able to blink. It's that busy. And I would say a 3-year degree is a right mix where you can kind of grow as you're going along. That 4th year was definitely, we could reflect a bit more, and, you know, we had that extra year and go, maybe I'd do it like this, or maybe I'd do it like that. But probably wasn't worth that whole extra year of just doing the degree.
I said, did you say you were the first and last year? Did they change it?
Yeah, so I'm sure it was a 3-year degree before us, and we were a 4-year. And there was a couple of 4 years after us, but by the time we graduated, they'd scrapped it. So I think 2 years after us would have been really depressing, because they were the last 4-year one. But
wow.
But the year after them would graduate the same time with the same qualification.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That I think was the killer with it. And it was just little things like, I think there's pluses and minuses to, like, a PGC and a 4 or 3 year course.
Mm-hmm.
In the PGC, you get that baptism of fire. You probably learn a bit more about what teacher stress is, where I don't think you learn it as much on a 3-year degree. There's definitely stressful times, but it is a bit more, it's a 12-week placement of stress rather than a whole year.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, unlike the one like we did, you get more time to reflect. You have that 12 weeks, and then you come away and think, oh, I'd probably do it like this next time, or, oh, I'd do this or I'd do that. And you go into different schools and you see different environments and different settings. Where PGC, like, I think you only go into two most of them. They do one block, then they go away, then they do the next block. And I think...
So what kept you going? I've got to say, 4 years is a long time. Did you ever think about dropping out, or what kind of kept you focused for so long?
No, I think, to be fair, I never felt like dropping out. It's just that last year we were just like, done now. But one thing I think was quite good was, like, the lecturers we had and stuff like that, they were very open and honest about stuff. And I always remember what I'm saying when we were in the third year, which made me laugh. They said, listen, 4th year will be a doddle. And we were all just like, they were like, and she just went, I think she was like 2 years off retirement. And she just went, listen, we've just put 3 years into you. If you're still here, we know that you'll make a decent teacher and you'll be all right in the classroom. Why would we fail, you know? and everyone was like, oh yeah. We were like, so just take this year, just do the work and get the grades. Yeah.
Can you, like, remember any key placements, like any, like, fond memories or awful memories of placements, I guess?
Do you know what? I have to say, when I was doing the teaching degree, all the schools I was in was, like, really, really good. I did really good. The schools were good placements. They were a variety of different ones, but they all had a good work environment. You could see that none of the teachers were massively stressed. Everyone was working as a team. Everyone was in a good place. And I would say, like, that to me was almost my downfall, because I was like, I'd been in then, I think, 5 or 6 schools by the end of it. I was like, schools are great. I see a bit of complaining online, but I don't know what it's about, because that must just be 1 or 2 schools, because all schools I've been in, a great environment. So I took the first job I got, didn't really look into it. And that was definitely where I had, like, my wake up, because I think everyone has one of them, and I had mine so early and lasted like 3 weeks.
Oh no.
Just like,
what? So tell us, obviously, like, no naming and shaming, but what went wrong? You only stayed there for a few weeks.
Yeah, I did 6 weeks. I did a half term, but I'd handed my notice in like 3 weeks in.
So what were some of the kind of red flags, I guess, Martin?
Do you know what? There was only, again, the school itself, the kids, the staff were great, but it was their leadership. And I saw in that aspect just how important leadership is in a school. Like, I was foolish to go to the school, but again, because I was so naive, because all the schools I worked in were really good, like great environments. I was like, all schools are like this. I went to that school, and this new head, he'd gone in the year before, and all the teachers had left. They just said, no, we're not having this. They left, and he had to hire a brand new, like, staff.
Oh my gosh. That's not a good sign. I mean, did that not, like, send your spider senses tingling?
Well, no, because I remember I was on, like, a walk, like, around, and he mentioned, he was like, oh, you know, this is the last job we've got left out of them, you know, you're going to be part of a brand new staff, it's going to be a new environment, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, how come all the staff are leaving at once? Quite unusual. And he was like, it's just the way it's fell. He said, it's just the way it's fell. Some people are going on to new things. Some people are retiring. He's like, it's the staff that have been there all together. And I think they're just ready for change. And I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. Like, seems reasonable. And then I got in and I was like, oh, okay.
Martin, have you never heard the phrase, there's no such thing as a coincidence?
Oh, I
what
know.
What was the chance that everyone was jumping ship at the same time? But that's the thing in education. Like, even when you visit a school, you still can't get the full picture, can you? So tell us, what were those weeks like then when you were there?
Oh, it was just madness. Absolute madness. Like, four that really stick out for me. Bear in mind, I was only there 3 weeks. Like, before, like, the second 3 weeks, I never really classed because they just left me alone then. They were like, he's going, like, don't have to worry about him. The second 3 weeks were probably one of the best experiences I've ever had in a school, because I was just doing my own thing. But the four things which I always remember, like, first one was, had to do some midterm plans, and you had to send them to the head, and he'd, like, okay them. And it was a 6-week history block midterm. So it's history, it's primary school, it was year two, it's six lessons. Sent it to him, he said, not enough detail, I need this and this in. We went backwards and forwards over like 5 days, and it ended up with like a 49-page document.
Just what?
Six lessons, he wanted everything. And because, don't get me wrong, I'd made midterm plans on placement. But because I'd never really made my own for a class before, I didn't have any experience to go like, no, they don't need to be like this. I was like, oh, maybe different ones have got different ones. And I only realized how insane that was when I was on supply in a different school. And they said, oh, we need someone for long term. I know you're a new NQ, you're an NQT. Have you ever done midterm plans or anything like that? And I was like, yeah, actually, I've got an example on my USB. I've got it here. I can print it off for if you want. And they were like, oh, yeah, sure. And we went up the office, and this is like a deputy at a different school. I printed it and started printing. And I think it was like 12 pages in. It was like 12 pages in. And they went, how long is this plan? And I went, I think it's about 59 pages. And he was like, what?
That's amazing.
Like, how is that not normal? But yeah, that was the first level. And like every Friday night, you would have to send him your planning. So you'd have to send
wait,
him.
Wait. Friday night.
So yeah, so every Friday night
is not optimal planning sending time.
But you would have to send your planning for the next week. And then Saturday morning, you would get an email back at some point going through your planning. And then you would have to send him it again on before like Sunday midday. So every week. And they did it for 3 weeks. Some of them did it for the whole year.
Why did no one? I mean, Martin, you and I know about well-being. This sounds like the biggest red flag. Well, Friday night, Saturday morning, and Sunday planning. But why did no one? What did everyone say? What did people talk about?
It was everyone's first. It was a brand new set of staff, and it was everyone's first job.
That's horrible.
It was only later on I was like, oh, this and that and that. Like, that was the level it was at. I remember, my mentor was the deputy head. And, like, this is how I think you can sum up schools. Like, I spent 3 weeks at this school. I spent 9 years at, like, the second, like, school I got a job in. But the difference, I think, comes down to this. I had, NQT, you had to do, like, an NQT folder.
Mm-hmm.
And they said on, like, the first day, you know, you need to do folder, you need to have this, you need to have that. It's like, okay. The deputy head of this, like, nightmare school, she just come to me one day and she was like, I've got a 3 hour after school today. I'm your NQT mentor. Bring your folder to my office. We'll go through everything. And I said, oh, I haven't got my folder on me. It's at home. Mm-hmm. And she was like, why is it at home? And I was like, well, I've just been doing bits on it and I never really do anything here. So I was like, I'll do it at home. And she went, NQT folders should be on you at all times. And the fact that you haven't got yours on you is a problem right now. I will let this slide with a verbal warning. But if it happens again, you'll have a written warning on your file. And I was like, oh, that, like, I didn't realize it was so serious. The next school I was in, where I did, like, all my NQT and stuff like that, the mentor I had was just the girl in the year above. She was like the teacher in the year above. And she said, she just come through and she was like, oh, actually, I forgot to say to you, I've got some free time. Do you want to look through your folder? Do you want to go through some of your NQT stuff? Mm-hmm. And I panicked because of that other experience. I was like, oh my God, I'm really sorry. I didn't bring it in today. Blah, blah, blah. And she went, what folder? And I was like, oh, you have to have a NQT folder with everything in, don't you? And I probably shouldn't say this on this, but she just said, oh, I'm the only one that has to see the folder. I'm not bothered. Like, don't do one. Like, it was just like, don't worry about, like,
it's bigger than, like, teaching's bigger than the paperwork, right?
Yeah, she was just like, oh, I'll just say you've got, like, as long as we're having the chat to know that you're doing what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
a folder with all evidence in. And I was like, oh, okay. And that, and it was that situation. I was like, oh my God, it's so different. But yeah, in 3 weeks, I got a verbal warning for not having a NQT folder with me because she decided on the day that we were going to have a meeting. I'd had my planning go backwards and forwards to where I was making ridiculous things. And I got pulled in the office about my teaching standards because the head come in and you still have to have all your planning on the wall. All the planning on the wall, and look at the time. He'd see what time it was on the timetable.
Oh my God!
Plan, and then he'd look at where you were at, and because I wasn't exactly where I said, the kids were still on the carpet. He stopped the lesson. He was like, "Excuse me, Mr. Malone, why are you still on the carpet?" Just wondering why are you still on the carpet because the children should be working now. I was like, "Oh well, they haven't quite got it." He was like, "Well, why haven't they got it?" And I was like, well, I don't know. They just haven't got it. I just need to. Okay, so you were meant to teach them for this in 10 minutes, but they don't understand it in the 10 minutes. Okay. Is your TA okay to take the class for a bit while you come into my office?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's just so undermining, isn't it?
Yeah. Like,
so undermining.
And that's kind of like the level it was at. And I always think the one story which always sums up that school before we, because I could talk about, considering I was there 3 weeks, I think I could talk about it for days.
It's still haunting you.
Oh, it's just mad. But the one which always, I think, stands out what type of toxic atmosphere was there from this SLT was the head wanted the secretary to be the non-teacher member of the governors. And she was like his mate. And he wanted her to do it. And all the TAs, he had a problem with TAs. Like, he did not like TAs at all. And they were really worried about them not having a voice on the governors because mm-hmm. they knew how much he disliked TAs. Like, he used to always comment to us about basically like it was like a war between teachers and TAs, because he felt TAs got paid too much for what they did, and that took away from budget. Like, that was the level he was at. So they were really worried about not having a voice on the governors.
Mm-hmm.
So they very bravely, like, all got together. And he basically said, like, she's going to be the one over for her.
Mm-hmm.
And they got together and said, listen, we can't have her be on it. One of us has got to say, I want to stand, and we've all got to vote.
Yeah.
And one of them said, because I think she was like, she was about 65. She didn't care. She said, I'll do it, but I'm not being the same. Like, everyone has to vote for me, and it has to be unanimous. Yeah. Like, we all have to be in it as one. So they all did their votes, and it was like in a ballot. And she won by like a landslide.
Oh, I lost her.
And then he said, and this is what I think sums it up. He said, in a staff meeting with everyone there, I've been thinking about the voting system. And some people handed me, because it was all secret ballot papers, some people handed me a few people's votes. And I don't know if they tampered with the votes or not, because they were secret ballot.
Oh my gosh, what? It's not the run for American president. Well,
so all the TAs, I would like them to each come to my office individually and let me know personally who you want to be the governor. Yes. I go with the one on the governors, yeah. And give them all the credit. They all went one by one. And went, wanted to be here. But it was that kind of like intimidation where he didn't get what he wanted. He didn't get what he wanted. So he made a situation where he put them in a one-on-one situation, hoping that they'd crack.
Wow.
But, yeah. And so, like, as I say, that was in 3 weeks.
I like a lot happening.
That was all in 3 weeks. So I like when people talk about like nightmare stories in schools, I always think I have them beat on it. Like that one level.
I love that. It's like a nightmare 3 weeks and then a dreamy 9 years, you said?
Yeah, there wasn't an issue. There literally was not an
issue. Tell us some nice memories from the 9 years.
I think it's just all of it. It was just...
What about trips? What about a good trip or something like that? Anything that stands out?
Yeah, we had tons of stuff like that. But I think the big one was just... It was more as a whole. It was just... It was a type of school where no one left. Like, because everyone just got into it and were like, yes, yeah, this is a good way. I think...
What classes did you teach? Talk us through the 9 years, Martin.
I taught year four and year five. They were the main ones that I taught there. And the big one for me was just that trust and that level of like in 9 years, I don't think I ever had a plan checked. I don't think I ever had, like, we were one form entry. So you never had to share your planning with anyone in that sense. And you'd always do your planning, but there was no structured planning. There was no structured anything. There was like obviously the stuff that has to be shown, so there'd be, you know, the bits where you'd show out like where you're teaching in the curriculum and when, but your day-to-day planning, your weekly planning, even your midterm plans would never be asked for, would never be checked, because the trust was there that you have a qualification in teaching. By the end of it, like, you know, you've been teaching for almost a decade. We check to see the books and the lesson observations now and again. We don't get any complaint. Like, we know that you're doing a good job. And I think that's what's important. There's so many schools out there which I do think are like that. And it's just finding that right environment, because there was always, like all schools, there's always going to be the stress. There's always going to be that manicness. But I think it's the environment of the school brings that forward. Like, I remember the head when he was the deputy when I first started, and then he became the head. One of the big lines he said to me was, just remember, if it doesn't get done, it doesn't get done. Like, just very, he was like, if it don't, like, he's like, this
is fire. Yeah, you were just a professional. Like, I guess it must have just made you feel like a professional.
Yeah. That's it. But it was just that idea of like, if it doesn't get done. And that to me is like a big one and stuff like that. It's that trust, which I think lots of teachers feel they don't get. And I think that to me is just where you've got to start doing your own boundaries and your own things. But it always does make me laugh because like that fair school I was in, even though for 3 weeks, that's probably why I'm sitting where I am now, like not teaching. And it's not because it drove like me out of teaching. But in fact, it did the opposite. Like I realized I wanted to teach. I did supply for a while. Mm-hmm. I found schools that I really like to be in, and I ended up teaching in one of them for like 9 years. But it made me realize that like it's so easy for someone at the top to turn school into your whole life and take everything else away from you. So then I was very much on, well, I have to put my own boundaries in place. And I have to come up with my own systems and routines and structure. And I have to watch my own health. And I have to be the person there. Because I'd seen, even though I was in a really good culture then, how easy it would have been for me to have maybe, if I was at that job, to be an absolute mess, burnt out, wreck in 4 years.
Wow.
And quite a lot of it was because of naivety, which you are probably going to get with an NQT. Well, ECT it's called now, is it? You're probably going to get that negative, like the plans and sending them in, and it, like because you don't know and you're the only part you've got. So it made me look into that more, as well as looking into my own health and fitness. And it's like I say to everyone I work with now, if you have a diary and you fill your diary each week and you show where everything's going to be and you block out, say, from like 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. at night, and just say, like, that's me time. Whenever someone comes to you and say, oh, can you help with this? Or can you do this? Or can you do that? You can get that diary out and you can show, oh, I haven't got any time. And not many heads are going to go, what about that time? Like, what about 8 p.m. on a Tuesday night? Like, no head normally gives that task out. I think he would have done that first that I had. But it's that balance of, you know, you can do that. And because it grew for me that way, I wanted to learn more about like physical training. I got a personal training qualification. Because you have to do that, you've got to have like people to trial it on. So it did one of the teacher mates, and it kind of built to where I got to a point where I was like, oh, do you know what? I think I can leave the classroom here. I think I can leave the classroom and try this. And even though I'd go back in a heartbeat, I think it's very much something that like I really enjoy, because I'm still working in education. I'm still helping teachers, but now it's more on my say, I think, and even more on my say. And I think that's the big one for me. Like, what I left was that little bit of freedom and that little bit of like, oh, can I grow something here?
That's amazing. But what about, so let's go back a little bit. The end of that 9 years.
Yeah.
When you had to write that resignation letter. How was that? Easy? Difficult? How easy was it to leave teaching?
It was It was easy and difficult, I'd say. Like, I would say teaching-wise, like, teaching's never easy. I don't think there's a teacher out there who says teaching is easy. But being 9 years in the same school with the same setup, with the same routines, with the same habits, I had got it not far off a 9-to-5 job. You know, I didn't have any real management roles. I was just class teaching and subject leading. There wasn't them big pressures there. For me, that side of it was pretty easy to leave, in the sense of like, oh, okay, like ready that side. Actually leaving and leaving the school was a bit rubbish. But I think a big one for me about teaching is, I think even when you leave, you never actually fully take your thing out, because you know that you can just go straight into a classroom tomorrow. You know, it'd take me, 6 weeks to get a CRB check, and then I'd be on supply, and then before you know it, like, you're on long-term supply and you're in school again. And it was a bit of a scary leap to make, because you go self-employed and everything like that.
Oh, wow.
But I think you've just got that, once you know you've got that safety net of supply, I think it's a little bit easier that way to take that leap. And I think that's where teachers themselves don't realize how much power they've got. Like, because right now, like, there's definitely a teaching shortage. You see it everywhere. And it's probably one of the only jobs in the world where you can leave it and be in a classroom the next day. It might be on a little bit less money on supply. It might not be as secure, but you can do that if you're not happy.
Yeah, you can always buy back.
You can jump, yeah. I know. If I was like, oh, do you know what? I want to go back to teaching. I know I'd have definitely long-term supply for probably a year by September. Do you know what I mean? Because you just
don't. Do you think you will? What do you think? So tell us now. Now you're a teacher's personal trainer. Is that right?
Yeah. So I work like online coaching, like helping people focus on their fitness.
That's amazing.
Focus on the physical. And I think a big one with teaching is mental health, because I don't think you can be physically fit unless you're mentally fit. Like, that to me is a big one, because it is those habits, it's those routines, it's those structures. And no one knows how to be a teacher unless you've been a teacher. Like we were chatting just before, like Disney have just put up a thing, haven't they, saying you can win a trip. You can win a trip in August with your class for 5 days and their parents.
Wow.
I could not think of anything worse.
No.
It's too much. I'm interested to see how many teachers apply.
I don't know. I scroll through the comments and there's like 1,000 comments. And all it seems to be is parents tagging their school's Instagram saying, can we do this? And just no reply. No response.
Oh, maybe if we did it in term time.
Do you know what? If there was some mountain, it was in term time, or it was a trip for the kids, and then later on you could go on your own one. But,
Or two ships.
you not have a break.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But yeah, I think that's the big one for me. It's just really helping in that way of like working with teachers to help them just start to succeed and get that balance back, because that's the big one. I think teaching can take a lot of your time, which then plays on your mental health. It becomes more of your life, and then you physically just kind of all over the place because you don't give the time to yourself that you need.
Yeah. That's so good. That kind of leads me to the last question. And I'm really interested. I know my students that will be listening are really interested. What is, with all this under your belt, so I know you've told us you did supply, you've worked in two different schools, now you're a teacher's personal trainer, like you've got really great insight. What would your advice be for current teachers or trainee teachers that are like in it right now?
I would say it comes on like a twofold for me. Like it comes on a twofold. So I think for most schools, the SLT, the head, the deputy, everyone like that are generally good people who are probably stressed to the eyeballs. I think there was a stat, I think we've already spoken about it, but there's a stat which says 95% of heads are stressed out.
I see.
When you're super stressed, you're not really thinking about anything else apart from how to just relieve a little bit of that stress. And I think everyone's in their own bubble. And that head has a ton of things that they have to get done. And if they know that, they ask a teacher, like, can you do this? And they do it. And they're just like, yeah, I can do it. Well, that's a bit of stress gone from them. And they don't think about your workload. They don't think about how many things I've asked you to do. They are just thinking about that little bit of stress that they've got off their plate. And it's not their fault that you keep saying yes. It's not their fault that you are taking all these on. They are expecting you as a professional, as an adult, to say, listen, I can't do this. Look at this.
Yeah.
So the bigger one for me is always chat, always talk, always like try and build that relationship where you can see it that way. Never argument. Well, you can be argumentative if you want if times have come, but generally day to day, just speak and talk to them. Say, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, is there a chance I can have this? I would say there's never 90% of things, there's never a time limit on like deadlines will be put in so they're done by a certain date. But if you're like, listen, look at all, they'll be like, okay, well, maybe we can move that back a month and could we give you some time out class to do this or could we do that? You know, there's all different ways. So I think the biggest advice I'd give, if, and you'll know like they are, you think your head is a decent person, which hopefully most of them are, like that who will listen to this, just talking, if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling overwhelmed, chat with them and find that solution. Because they, if they respect you as a teacher, they are going to try and help that solution. And then the other side of it is, there is going to be a couple, like the fella I was talking about, who are just nightmares, who just have weird grudges and do want to wear everyone to death. Because, like, I know he was super fast-tracked. So I think he spent maybe a year in teaching before he was an out-of-class deputy, and then the next year he was a head. Do you know, like, so if they don't have that realization and they are happy to just push your boundaries and make your life about school, then the other side I always think is really know your rights. Like, I was an AQT. Yes, technically they're able to ask for the planning, but what I should have done is, the minute I had a bit of a red flag, I should have rang the union and been like, bang. I should have said, do you know what? I'm still going to work here, but I'm not having any meetings with you unless I've got a union representative. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And played that hardball, because if you're in a school where you think the head is really supportive, but just work is getting a bit overwhelming, have them chat with them. If you think you're in a school where the head is just trying to work everyone to the bone and they're not respecting you, then don't respect them either. And say, do you know what? These are my boundaries. I'm putting a firm thing here and I'm getting the union to back me on it. And I think that's the two ones. Like, I don't think union should be everyone's first port of call. It shouldn't be like, you know, oh, we need help with an after school club. Are you okay? I'm getting the union involved because you can't. But at the same time, I don't think teachers utilize unions enough when they should be utilized. And I think sometimes it's too late, where you'll have agreed to do something or you'll be at the place where you're completely stressed out. But actually, teachers and unions have a ridiculous amount of power in a school. Like, and don't get me wrong, this isn't anything I'd want anyone to do. But I remember going into ply on a school and I was in just for a week. And I said, oh, how come is the teacher off? And they said, oh, she's suspended indefinitely because she basically wasn't doing any work. She was just coming in. She was putting videos on for the kids. They were like 4 or 5 weeks in. There was nothing in the books.
Wow.
No work in the books. And I said, oh, what'll happen with it? And they said, oh, the head is raging because the union basically come in and were like, yous didn't support her enough. How did she get to 4 weeks without it? Yous didn't support her. She's an NQT. It's your fault. So she was something like suspended for 6 months with full pay.
Wow.
And then they agreed a resignation letter and their head wasn't allowed to say anything. And they would just have this letter. And obviously that's an extreme where it's like, that's mad and we wouldn't want anyone doing that. But like, if the unions have that much power to do that, they can definitely help you when you're struggling.
And just for advice, aren't they? I think it was a key point what you said about your first school, because you didn't know what was novel. You didn't know what other schools did because you were, you know, inexperienced. It was your first role.
I think that's
the key, Mars, isn't it? Like, if you're an early career teacher, or even if you've only ever worked in one school, have conversations with people from other schools just to check, like, where is your school on the radar of, like, workload? And
I would say that's one thing, like, through uni and first things, no one really talked about building that social network. No one really talked about speaking to unions. I don't think a union ever come in. Do you know, like, maybe this thing you just had to sign up to.
We had the union to come in and talk to my trainee teachers recently. So brownie points for me.
I think it's just that talking, and that'd be the big advice I'd give to anyone. It'd be really, like, think about who your leadership team are. And if you think, do you know what, they're human beings who maybe are a little bit stressed, have that conversation with them about your workload. And I'm sure things will get done to fix it. If you think, you know what, they just don't understand anything, go to your unions and speak to them and get that advice. Because there's always so much support that teachers don't access.
Yeah, that's so true.
Because no teacher talks about the access.
That's so true. And then, you know, if you need to move schools, because I think the other thing is you found that, didn't you? When you moved from that first school ended up in the one you loved, you stayed there 9 years. So equally, there are always more schools. Teachers are valuable. They need to know, like, just move if it's not the right fit, just like you did.
And that's it. And it's just that, like, I can't recommend Supply enough to anyone. I think Supply is the best way for you to gauge what you want to teach. Because some people will love a 4-4 entry school. Some people will love a 1-4 entry school where you've got the complete control. They've both got the balances. They've both got the pluses. They've both got the balances. Like, 4-year school, the 4-class entry school, you don't have to hardly do any planning. But you do have to stick to a scheduled structure of, like, everyone teaches this then, everyone teaches that then. When you do it on your own, if something comes up, you can kind of go on a tangent a bit more, but you obviously have more workload. And I think that's the balance there. But yeah, no, that'd be my biggest advice to everyone. Just talk as much as possible to others, and then it's just going to be better.
That's such good advice. And also keep listening to our podcast.
Yeah.
Because we will also give you more and more advice. But that's such good advice to everyone. Martin, I've got one last spicy question, a quick
one. Go for it.
Do you still look at teaching jobs?
I do sometimes, you know. I just looked more to see what's out there, whether anything is. Because I think there's always going to be something which might tempt you to come back in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but there's been nothing on there yet where I've been like, ooh, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or I always think it's interesting because it also just sees the lay of the land. Like,
yeah.
I think it's tough where I am in Liverpool because it's such a bubble. Because you've got Edge Hill, you've got Hope, you've got John Moores, you've also got Manet, which is close by. Like, the Northwest as a bubble, I think, isn't at, like, it is very competitive. Where mm-hmm. I know, like, the rest of the UK, it's a lot more of like two teachers might apply. But it's always been like that. I know 10 years ago, in Liverpool, if you put a primary school teaching job out, at least 100 people would apply.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. They'd be learning, like, they do those after school learning walks, and there'd be like 100 people turn up to
them. Wow. Oh my God.
I always look at them, but I'd go back in a heartbeat, but it'd have to be the right place for me. I think that'd be a big one. The PPA.
And that's what you've learned, is it? That the power is in your hands, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. And I think it's in every teacher's hand, especially now. Like, most of the UK just cannot find teachers.
Yeah.
Like, less people are going on courses, more people are retiring or leaving.
Yeah.
To me, that's a big one.
It's a big one. And that's why I love your story. And just thanks for sharing it, because I think your story really shows us that you do have the power, and that you can be brave, and that you can make changes. And then I love now just seeing how you are passing that on and supporting teachers through your personal training. It's really cool. So yeah, I think I hope everyone will take something away from that. Like,
hopefully,
don't be afraid to take a risk. Yeah, don't be afraid to take a risk.
That looks good. But no, not a bad one. Probably a good time for us to wrap up. But
story though. Thank you really so much. Good.
Oh no. Thanks to everyone who's listening as well. And we'll be back next week.
Yeah, see you then.
Bye now.